very much enjoyed Elder Evans' message concerning the way that the Lord has for us. I can assure you that 50 years ago, I had no idea that I would be doing this at this time. It's an amazing thing when you begin to feel the Lord leading you, and it's in a way that is contrary to your normal way of thinking. I'll put it that way. And I confess to have a good dose of Jonah in me. And if you don't believe that there's a whale's belly big enough to hold a 6'4" man, I'll talk to you after service. There is one. Let's just see where the Lord's going to lead with this. Brother Paul put me into mind some of the things that he said to pursue a different way, of course, of thinking than what I had studied. The Apostle Peter was a very unusual man. And I have been guilty of thinking some very hard thoughts concerning the Apostle Peter and his behavior. But in my later studies, I've developed quite a compassion for the Apostle Peter and a tremendous respect for him, more so than what I ever had in my life. So, and not having studied this recently, you just ask you to bear with me as we go to the scripture. Let's begin tonight in Matthew chapter 26. And if I were going to put a title on this, I would probably entitle it Peter's Unusual Experience. Now, let's characterize Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was a strong man. He was a powerful man. He was strong in his body, had to be because of the kind of work that he did. He was also strong in his nature, in his mind. He was a determined man. He was the kind of man that in my years of leadership, if I needed somebody to do something that was tough and had to be done on time and just right, the Apostle Peter was the kind of man that I would have called to get it done. He was that kind of man in my perception of him. He was a man that was reliable, could be counted upon. So in Matthew chapter 26, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Other places is called the Garden of Gethsemane. And then verse number 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended me this night. Now notice what he said here. Until just recently, this language, sometimes you read the Bible and because of the way it's written, you just breeze right through it. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. But he says, you're going to be offended. Let's get it right. And all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Offended. Because of me. Now, that means something. And I want you to follow me carefully now. Now, you got a powerful set of men here who live their life in natural strength. Those are the kind of men that they would be probably pretty gracious, but if you push them too far, they would become physical and defend themselves. Okay, that's the kind of men they were. They were real men. He says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now listen to Peter. This is this man. This man meant what he said. He fully intended to do exactly what he said. He knew that he had what it takes to do this. Okay. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now we need to be careful how we say things. Amen. Because Peter did not know what the Lord was talking about at this time. He really didn't. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, for us country folks, that means just before daylight. You will have denied me three times. Okay. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. Now, he meant that. He fully intended to go to that length, to give his life for his Lord. So let me ask you this question tonight. What is your level of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? We need to evaluate that within ourselves. As honestly as Peter did. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. That's a little poetry saying that even if they take my life, I will die alongside you. Okay. Now, those who've had any military experience at all, what that means is, okay, Commander, when the battle gets hot and the enemy is fighting, I'm going to stand right there beside you and we're going to fight together. And as long as you stand there and fight, I don't care how hot the battle gets, even if it takes my life, as long as you fight, Commander, I'm going to be right there with you. You get that? That's the meaning of that. Okay. Likewise, also said all the disciples, every one of them, they honestly said that and had that level of commitment to serve their God. Do we have that level of commitment tonight? We ought to. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now, let me pause just a moment. We need to get where we are. We need to cover a little background here. They had already been in the upper room. The Lord had already administered the last valid Passover and the first communion supper. And Judas had already departed to betray him. And what that means is he had gone to where the Jewish authorities are, and he went to tell them where Jesus was because they had been looking for Jesus for several days. They were trying to find somebody to tell them where Jesus was. And Judas knew where it was. Now, they left the upper room, but Judas knew where that garden was. Okay? And that he went there often. He says to those men, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him, the Lord took with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Now, listen carefully now. I mean, you get this scene and let it sink down into your soul. This is the Son of Man. This is God and man who was sent into this world for a purpose. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This is not the first time he was in this state. Just a few days, but prior to that, he began to be very sorrowful. And the reason he began to be very sorrowful is that he knew what was ahead of him. And let me tell you something. It wasn't just the beatings or the cross that made him sorrowful. What was ahead of him was that he was about to experience sin. Not that he was going to sin, because he didn't and he never sinned, but he was going to be made to be sin for you and me. And that was going to be a doleful scene and a feeling for the Son of God. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, I feel so sorrowful within me that even this sorrow, it seems, is about to take my life. That is how low I feel. Have you ever felt that low? So low that you felt like that even your broken heart was going to take your life. He says to these men, tarry ye here and watch with me. He says, sit with me. Sometimes we can get into such a low state of mind that we just want somebody to sit close to us. That's where Jesus Christ was that night. Just tarry with me here for a little while. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. Now listen to this prayer from the Son of God. Oh, my Father, if it be possible. He says, behind this, he came to do his Father's will. If there was any way to accomplish your will and me escape this, that is going to happen tomorrow. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not the cup of the beatings or the nailings to the cross, but that be made to be sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's our Savior, the one that loved you to such a degree that yes, he would give his life, but he would bear your sins away from you. He would remove them from the presence of God the Father for you. And he cometh unto the disciples, those that had he asked to tarry with him, and he findeth them asleep. You know why they went to sleep? One, it is in the early hours of the morning, and those men are tired. That's number one. But number two, they didn't know what was happening. They didn't understand. Well, and he findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you just sit with me in my sorrow for 1 hour? This is our Savior who could see what was developing and what was about to happen. So he says, watch and pray. Stay on duty with me. And pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came back as a loving Savior. He says to these men, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. And while he yet spake, Judas and one of the 12 came, and with a great multitude of the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now he betrayed him, with a sign, and that sign was a kiss. And he called him friend. Well, now, I want you to notice what happened. And then they came and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus, that was Peter. This is revealed in other accounts of this, in Mark and Luke and John. Behold, one of them, Peter, which was with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, his name was Malchus, and he cut his ear off. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to get this scene. Is that the action of a coward? There's soldiers there. There's a great multitude. That takes a brave man, a strong man, to draw his sword and attack that man in the presence of a great host. That was a mighty man and a brave man. But the Lord says, you're going to be offended because of me. Now watch what happens now. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. What do you mean, Lord? Put up my sword. Lord, don't you know I'm embellishing just a little bit, reading some into this, but get capturing the scene. Lord, don't you understand that these men have come to take you and maybe us? My job, in his view, is to defend you, Lord. But the Lord said, put the sword in his place. Can you see that old fisherman's face? That makes no sense. Can you see those other disciples over there, those apostles, shaking their heads? That makes no sense at all. We're here to defend you, not to give up. We're not cowards. We don't give up. But the Lord said, put up the sword. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels, and one angel can destroy a whole city? He said, don't you know that I could call for 12 legions of angels and they would arrive on the scene and take care of business for me? I have the power to do that. How much power does your Savior have tonight to defend you and to help you? But how then, listen carefully, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? If I do that, or if I allow you men to drive these people away, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? These men have come to fulfill the scriptures. We are here tonight because the scripture was fulfilled. We have that hope that Brother Paul preached about because the scripture was fulfilled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. That doesn't mean he's up there now preparing that. That means in his going, he prepared a place for you. Amen. Okay. He was there to fulfill the scripture. And it goes all the way back, to the garments that God made for Adam and Eve. And you can track it all the way through the Old Testament. The scripture must be fulfilled. And Jesus says, this is the reason that I am here. To fulfill the scripture. Don't you remember? Don't you remember Abraham and Isaac? What Abraham said to Isaac? That he would provide himself a sacrifice? Page after page after page after page of the Old Testament points to this very hour. Now my hour is come. But Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, those men did not understand. Not then. They will before long. But tonight, they don't understand. They're confused. Those brave, strong men are confused. Well, he says, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? He says, you need to stand down now and let this happen, because this is the way it must be. I must go with them. I must submit myself. I must give myself to be crucified. I must give myself on the cross. I must give my life. And I must allow my body to be placed in the tomb. And I must take up my life again on the third day. This must happen. Because I have a great host of people, so great that no man can number them. And I have been sent to give my life for them and to pay their sin debt. That's the reason that I have come. But they didn't get it tonight. Well, remember what the Lord told Peter. Now Peter and all of these brethren, they all fled. They all left. When that happened, there were some other things that happened. We won't get into all of that. But there were some other things that happened, but they fled. But now Peter, he followed the Lord over to the high priest's palace. And he got over there. Now let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before all, saying, everybody heard it. Everybody. Saying, I know not what thou sayest. You can characterize that however you want to, but the man lied. And he denied him. That's number one, Peter. That's number one. Okay. Well, then in verse number 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Number two, Peter. Okay. And this is a strong man. This is not a coward. He didn't say that because he was a coward. This man he was confused about what was going on here. He was the kind of man that would defend himself and his Lord. And now there's one more background piece of information that I need to share with you tonight. Before they left the upper room, knowing that there was about to be a disturbance, it was probably Peter said, here are two swords, Lord. Remember what the Lord said? It is enough. He didn't tell them, no, bring the swords. But he said, it's enough. And I do believe that if the Lord had intended for them to defend him, it would have been enough to take care of business. All right. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. He says, you've got an accent and you talk like the rest of these ignorant folks. Well, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. Okay. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You're going to do it, Peter. But Peter had no idea that he would do such a thing because he did not fully understand what was happening that night. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Now, so what would you do if somebody were to deny you like that? You sorry rascal. You lowlife. I'll have nothing else to do with you. But when Mary Magdalene, when the Lord spoke to her, she says, you go tell my disciples and Peter that I am coming to meet them. And so can you imagine Peter, when that woman came and spoke to him and said, Peter, and the Lord said, especially, he said, to come to see you. You know what that must have meant to that old fisherman? He still loves me. He still wants me. In spite of what I have done, he still wants me, and he still loves me, and he still cares about me. I made an awful mistake in this life. I sinned and denied my Lord, but he still wants me. And he still loves me, and he still cares me. Have you ever messed up in life? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever made a bad mistake? And then maybe late one night, you get that feeling where the Lord is just calling your name, and that sweet spirit comes to you and says, I still love you. I still want you. I haven't thrown you away, and I won't throw you away. Let me tell you something. We have a Lord that is so full of grace. You can't measure it. You can't quantify it. It is a grace that is so pure and so sweet and so lovely. Those men experienced it. I do believe that the Lord embraced those men. And then what about Thomas? Let me tell you, I'm not Thomas Bond, but the other Thomas. Remember Thomas? You know, when Thomas, on the first day that the Lord appeared, the first Lord's day when when the Lord appeared, or the first day of the week when the Lord appeared, Thomas said, no, he didn't. That just can't be. You know, I was there. I saw his body. They put him in the tomb. That couldn't happen. And you remember his response, you know, I've got to handle him with my hands. Well, on the next first day of the week, when the Lord was there, well, when Thomas was there, the Lord didn't say to Thomas, when the Lord appeared in the room, he didn't say, Thomas, you had your chance, buddy, and you blew it. So just go ahead and leave. I'm finished. He didn't say that, did he? He said, Thomas, here I am. You want to put your fingers in here, Thomas? You want to put your hand in my side, Thomas? Do you remember Thomas's words? My Lord and my God, it's really you. You have risen from the dead. All of these things are true. That day, more and more people would find out it is true. The men on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord reached forward and broke the bread, and their eyes were open, they couldn't wait to get back to Jerusalem and say, my goodness, what those women said is really true. We saw him. And when he was talking with us, did not our hearts burn within us? Just filled with the joy of our Savior. He's alive. And my friends, he's alive evermore. And in spite of our humanity, he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants us. And he'll never forsake us. May God bless you, is my prayer.